This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. And joining me today, live on JPR, is the band Barnaby Bright, otherwise known as Nathan and Becky Bliss. Hello, guys. Welcome to JPR.
Aw, thank you so much for having us.
Hey, man. It's great to be here.
I want to start by talking about your band name briefly, because there is a literary reference to this, correct? Barnaby Bright?
Yeah, that's right. It goes back to medieval England. And it actually means the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, which coincided with the feast day of St. Barnabas. So there was a limerick that went, Barnaby Bright, Barnaby Bright,
the longest day, the shortest night.
And how did you stumble across that?
Well, it's funny. Nathan found this old book of English fables and phrases one night and came across the word. And I guess they had like this big feast to honor St. Barnabas and drinking and all this. And Nathan thought it'd be kind of a fun band name. But then we thought it was confusing because it sounds like a guy's name. So we ended up kind of scratching it and not using it. But then that night, he had this crazy dream, which sealed the deal.
I had a dream, and this is a true story. All of a sudden, Bob Marley was floating above our bed in this cloud of smoke, and he said to me, almost like he was angry, he said, Nathan Barnaby Bright, that's a good name, man. So I woke up, told Becky the dream, and we decided we'd stick with it because that was a pretty clear sign from the universe.
You know, I was looking back through not only your most recent album, The Longest Day, but the album that you put out, or the EP you put out, I guess, called Gravity. And was looking through the credits on those albums, and your publishing credit back on Gravity referred to Longest Day Music, and the publishing credit on the newer album refers to Shortest Night Music. So you have made an adjustment at some point in there, huh?
Longest Day wasn't available.
So it was used very temporarily, right?
Yes.
In all of the bio information for you guys, it refers to you both being from the same place, Kansas City. But if I remember right, reading about you guys, it's more like Overland Park, Kansas. Is that right?
Yes. I grew up in a suburb of Kansas City called Prairie Village, which is essentially Overland Park. And I spent my whole life there growing up. But Nathan actually grew up in Philadelphia and then moved to the Overland Park area when he was like 10. But then only lived there for a few years and then went to school in Boston, lived there for 12 years. So he's more from many different places, but I'm really a true Kansas City girl.
So you guys were technically in roughly the same town for a short period then, huh?
Yeah, only about 2 years, just long enough to have a booking agent introduce us to start playing music together.
And is that how you first met, through a booking agent?
Yeah, it is. We were dating other people at the time, so the romance did not begin till later. But yeah, we played music together for about a year, and it was great. It was fun. We did like cover music in bars, and it was not what we would like to be doing anymore, but it was good for the time.
What kind of music were each of you making when you first met? It must have been somewhat symbiotic if that booking agent decided to pair you together.
Yeah, well, I was doing sort of a one-man loop show using saxophones and guitars and vocal processors and stuff. So I was kind of a one-man band in need of a singer. And this guy saw that and knew Becky was looking for a band. So kind of paired us together, and it's been great ever since. I'm so grateful.
I was in school at the time, and I was studying opera and actually very unhappy doing that. And so I just was looking, as soon as I could get to a bar and start singing, I was happy. So as soon as I graduated, that's kind of what I started doing. I wasn't even really writing my own music yet. I was just happy not to be doing opera. I love opera. My mom is an opera singer. My brother is a professional opera singer. But it just wasn't for me to be pursuing, it wasn't my dream.
But that training probably gave you some bass strength as a singer that you could apply to anything, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, because I grew up in a family where my mother was an opera singer, I grew up with music as practically a second language, and I've always been singing my whole life. So that definitely helped.
Barnaby Bright is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. Their latest release is called The Longest Day. You guys, when you perform together, more so than just about anybody out there, you really sound like you're singing and playing with one voice. But is it true that this partnership kind of almost didn't happen at one point?
Well, sort of. Like I said, we met in Kansas City. The booking agent introduced us. We played together for a year, and then Nathan wanted to stop playing together because he was dating someone else, and there were some feelings coming into the mix. Yes. And so we quit playing together, and I moved to New York City. And he had lived there before, and he just happened to be in Kansas City for a few years, as I said. So I moved out to New York City and lived there for a year. But we were best friends. We were so, so close. So obviously we kept in touch and everything. And I made my own album on my own. And then he heard it and kind of thought, I think I want to start playing music with her again. So he came out to New York a year later to do some shows. And the rest is kind of history, I guess.
Well, let's hear how you sound. What do you want to play first?
I think we're going to do Highway 9. It's a song off of our new record.
Thank you. That is Highway 9. It's Barnaby Wright live on Jefferson Public Radio. Before we move on, I want to talk about one of the instruments in that tune, the harmonium. This is it's about the size of a rectangular milk crate, you know, the kind of thing that you see, you know, jugs of milk in. But how does this thing work? Tell me where you found it, how you discovered it, and how you play it.
Well, it's actually a German invention that dates back to about 1850 or so, and it was designed to be like a portable church organ that you would pump air through with your feet and play with your hands. And then the model we use is an even more portable one, which you actually are pumping air through a bellows with your left hand and playing the notes of the keyboard with your right hand. So it's kind of like an accordion in a way. But I grew up with one of these. I came up in an alternative household, you might say. This was kind of a mainstay for us. But it seemed like a really natural pairing with the moodiness of the songs that we were writing, and it adds sort of this haunting quality that we really love.
Yeah, absolutely. So you pump it with your left hand and you play the keys with your right hand, right?
Yep, exactly. Somebody said at a show they'd never seen one, and they couldn't see the keyboard from the audience, and they said it looked like I was like fooling around in a toolbox on stage. So I like to clarify that I am playing an instrument.
Nathan, your musical background is firmly rooted in jazz, right? You ended up with a degree in composition and saxophone performance. How in the world did you end up making this kind of music with Becky?
Oh, man, I don't know what took me so long is the only thing, but it was a long journey for me. It was just about finding myself and what was really true for me despite what I was exposed to through education and through working really hard in the great tradition of jazz and just sort of some honest self-assessment into what rang true in terms of the art I wanted to create. So it was hard to put away that wonderful path and all the hours, but it's been very rewarding surrendering to song and to words that tell a story set against often very simple harmonic structures. Just it hits closer to the heart than to the head, like contemporary jazz does.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much jazz influence in the songs that you're writing now. Is it hard for you to sort of turn that part of your background off?
No, it's kind of easy. Like it seems like such a strange guest in the rooms. You know, it just doesn't quite want to sit down and mingle. But it's given me great confidence. Sort of existing in different musical landscapes, you know, with the training that comes with jazz. Even though we're not employing some of the harmonic structures that are common in jazz, you feel free, like you can jump off any musical cliff at any time and you're going to be all right, you know, so you can really yeah. explore with courage.
When Gravity was released, it seemed like things started to pick up speed for you, and that EP ended up on Amazon's Best Records of the Year. All of a sudden, there was some placement of your music in various TV shows, ER, Days of Our Lives, things like that. Was there a noticeable turning point for you guys where all of a sudden the music that you had been working so hard on started to become noticed by a much larger audience?
Yeah, I think so. The Amazon thing really, really did help. And more than anything, getting out there and touring has made all the difference in the world. I mean, I know that there's been sort of a shift in the past few years where, and probably is smarter to do things this way, but to release YouTube videos of cover songs or of your own songs or you know, because they reach a wider audience that way. But for us, we like to do that too, but we love the touring aspect of this job because we connect with people and we see the faces and we hear the voices of the people that are connecting to the music and hearing the stories of how a song, you know, means something to someone. So that, when we started touring, is what really for us made a difference.
So of the two of you, who writes the love songs and who writes the depressing tragedies?
Well, we have a joke in the band, Eric, that I write, you know, the death and destruction songs and that Becky writes the happy love songs. And that's generally true, but there are notable exceptions to those.
Yeah, and this, it's starting to shift a little bit. Like the next record, Nathan definitely has written a few more poppy, hopeful tunes.
Yeah, we're turning a happy corner.
Wow. Things are changing. I mean, one of your most beautiful tunes is about an affair and a jealousy-ridden double murder.
Yes.
Right? And yet you don't notice that the first time you hear it because it's such a beautiful song. So there's this odd interplay going on. When you guys write tunes, is there something specific that you try to impart in them that then makes them so attractive to people wanting to use them in poignant moments of television or movies?
It's kind of like I have to believe what I'm saying, even if the song isn't about me. I mean, I do write personal songs, but even if I'm writing about someone else or if I've made up a story, I just have to believe that it's true and that the things that are coming out of my mouth are real and relatable and could happen to someone or did happen to someone.
It's Barnaby Wright live on Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest album is called The Longest Day. I know that there is more music in the future for you guys. We'll talk about that and your move from New York to Nashville in just a bit. But what do you want to play next?
Well, in keeping with what we were saying about me writing the love songs, we're going to do a new song of mine that is a love song called Just the Same. I haven't made the best decisions in my life, and I can take almost anything except advice. And every dish I own is in my kitchen sink, and I don't think I've ever paid a bill on time. But you still love me, so I guess I'm alright. I'm the kind of girl your parents warned you of. I wish I could hold a steady job like I can love. And I swear sometimes I feel like I could drown at the thought of settling down like every other good girl does. But you still love me when push comes to shove, and I pinch myself every day. Still can't believe it when I hear you say, oh, thank God you were born this way. I like you just how you came. Oh, thank God you were born this way. 'Cause you and I were just the same. And I've got a way of winning every time we fight. And I can't admit it, but you're almost always right. Bless my bleeding heart and all its hurts and holes that make me who you know, this stubborn soul here at your side. Boy, you must love me to let so much slide. And I pinch myself every day. Still can't believe it when I hear it. Say, oh, thank God you were born this way. I like you just how you came. Oh, thank God you were born this way. 'Cause you and I were just the same. How you came.
That is just the same. It's Barnaby Bright live on Jefferson Public Radio. A song not on The Longest Day. Hopefully that one is going to be on the next album whenever that one's coming.
Yes, that's people always ask about that at shows. Is that on any of your records? And I always have to say no. It'll be on the new one, but it is on YouTube in the meantime and several versions.
Yeah, there's a fan. This was like at 9 o'clock in the morning. You guys showed up at a radio station and did a version of this.
Oh
right?
My gosh! Yeah, we'd driven like 10 hours the day before and had to wake up at 7 a.m. and go do this radio interview, and it was being videotaped, so we had to look decent too.
Cold outside.
It turned out beautifully.
Oh,
yeah, it's
thanks,
really, Eric. Really amazing. So you guys are moving, right, in the process or have just kind of completed a move from New York, where you have been for how many years now?
About 6 years. Gosh,
to
I can't
Nashville.
Believe that. Yeah, and we're putting everything in storage because we're just kind of going to Nashville and winging it. We're staying. We have a ton of friends down there, which is part of the reason we're moving. But we're just going to stay with people and check out the different neighborhoods and do some co-writing and shows and hopefully find a place within the next month or so. But we have everything in storage so that we can kind of be mobile. And if we don't find a place within the next month, we're going on many tours over the summer. So
right,
we'll
just
see
to
what
drag
happens.
Your feet and kill some time, right?
Yeah, we're trying to be flexible.
Well, I was going to ask, what was it about Nashville that drew you there? Because you guys seem fairly self-sufficient when it comes to music. You referenced doing some co-writing with other people. Is it something that you're looking to do, is maybe expand out and incorporate some additional folks in the music that you make?
Absolutely. You know, that's a big part of it. And also, a lot of our community in Brooklyn is or has moved to Nashville recently. There's kind of this mass migration. I think a lot of it is just cost of living is much lower, yet it's still a really vital industry center, and so we thought we would join our community and also enjoy parking spots in front of grocery stores, you know, things to take for granted.
The little things.
Yeah, the little things, and the culture really of collaborative songwriting is really attractive to us, and we want to explore that. We've done a little bit there. We loved it. We had great results. We get really good material quickly, and just to be a part of this great kind of cross-pollination of artists and friends from Brooklyn who are now in Nashville.
And even if, you know, the songs that we end up co-writing with people don't end up on one of our records, if it ends up on someone else's or, you know, gets placed on a show, or we just love the idea of collaboration because our career thus far has kind of been isolated. We've made our records sort of alone and we tour just the two of us, and we're ready to kind of open that up.
Do you guys have a favorite song to perform when you're out on tour?
That's a good question. I love to perform Highway 9, the first one that we did, and then Don't Look Down, which is on our first record.
And I'm really loving it's not on a, it's a new song, it'll be on the next record. It's called Spotlight. And it's a song that Becky wrote that's really fun, and it uses drum machines and loops and vocal samples and stuff, and I'm really enjoying that.
How about one that you get asked to play when you're out on tour that's really hard to replicate what you put on an album?
Old Coats.
Yes.
Really?
Old Coats.
Yeah, our one and only official music video is the one song we can't really pull off as a duo too well. Whoops.
what is it?
That wasn't very smart.
The problem is that song is all about halfway through there's a huge build, and it's an awesome build. And when it's just the two of us, we can't replicate that without the drums and cello. And
yeah, we never get that plane in the air to our satisfaction.
But now that you're in Nashville, right? Now that you've got some additional musicians around you in Nashville, maybe you can.
Yes, and we would so like to get a full-time, full band. Really excited.
The only reason we haven't thus far is just the money. You know, it's expensive to bring people out on the road, but hopefully that will change soon.
Well, let's talk briefly about the next album that's coming out, because now that you are going to be based in Nashville, Nashville's definitely got some power and influence and a Nashville sound. How are you going to manage the power and influence of Nashville in the creation of a new Barnaby Bright record?
That's a really good question. People have been asking us that a lot when we tell them we're moving to Nashville. Oh, are you guys going country? And no, I mean, there's so many different types of music. I mean, Beck just made his new record there, which we listened to and loved.
Jack White, of course, has a home in Nashville.
Yeah, so I think if anything, it will just enhance what we do, and there'll be a larger pool to draw from, and not a larger pool than New York by any means, but I don't know. I think it'll be great. We're really excited.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today. I know that ever since hearing Gravity, I've wanted to do a live session with you guys, and I'm really glad it finally came together.
Oh, us too. Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Do we have time for one more? What do you want to go out with?
Well, we'll do the murder ballad that you referenced earlier that sounds pretty. It's called Castle Rock.
It brushed against my hand so lightly, waiting in a line. I saw his wedding band, and he saw mine. He saw mine. Small talk in the driveway, that's where it should have stopped. But he said, I know the place, I know.
That is Castle Rock. It's Barnaby Bright, Nathan, and Becky Bliss live on Jefferson Public Radio. That one comes from their album called The Longest Day, out in 2013. More information about them at their website, barnabybright.com. And at some point, you think it'll be 2014 or beyond that we see a next album?
It should be this year. Yeah, once we kind of get settled in Nashville, the work begins.
Guys, thanks again for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us,
Thank
Eric.
Thank you.